Hello and welcome to Movie Theater Time Machine, the podcast where we keep it real surreal. Is this weird enough for you? This is what we really need to do.
Okay.
Sexy!
You need to throw a plant pot at the wall and assert yourself.
This is Movie Theater Time Machine, the podcast where we keep it real surreal, and this is Tootsie! Number 2 on the funniest movies of all time, according to AFI. And this year stars Dustin Hoffman, Jessica Lange, Ted Gar, Dabney Coleman, and Charles Darning, just to name a few.
I think Gina Davis is in it briefly.
Gina Davis is in there for a little while, just to show that she looks good in underwear.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty much her old deal. And like, oh yeah, she has clothes. Yeah.
She has clothes, but you wouldn't know it to see Transylvania 65,000 either.
No. That,
Transylvania 65,000.
You know what that is? True. Yeah, you're right. I forgot all about that movie.
I went back on a bit of a dive.
Transylvania 65,000.
Yeah.
Like the other day.
Yeah, I forgot that movie even existed. Oh, man. My name's Nick.
I'm Cass.
I'm Dan, and in a startling change from the last few weeks, Joss is the only person at her work not currently sick, so she is currently stuck at work. She'll be back next week, or she should be, fingers crossed.
Yeah, and this movie itself, Tootsie...
I keep thinking of Dorothy's going to be named Tootsie, and then I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Tootsie itself is a very, very, very successful movie, having upwards of $250 million altogether. And really was a big takeoff hit in 1982. So one of the things I really wanted to explore this month is, you know, explore the comedies because, you know, there's a lot of shit out there. You know, there's a lot of shit out there in general. And, you know, it's just like, okay, let's do this. But some stuff might not work anymore.
Yeah, some of the humor in this, let's be honest. Most of the humor in this doesn't really fly nowadays.
Right.
Like the man in a dress, har, har, har kind of humor is like, okay.
Yeah.
Like Mrs. Doubtfire probably wouldn't fly very well today either.
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire over time really becomes more problematic as you watch it.
I still love the cake moment, though.
Hello!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, or she sets her breasts on fire.
Stay as a woman, I'm already having hot flashes.
Yeah, right, yeah. And it's still, it's beautiful because of there, but this is like Tootsie walk so Mrs. Doubtfire can run. There are some things here, and I like it because this movie is used as for people who are homophobic and thinking everything is, you know, everything is woke nowadays. We got to be really sensitive.
Yeah.
People are pointed towards this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, everyone's
like, oh, it's the trans agenda. It's like, you know what the trans agenda is?
Yeah.
It's to do their laundry
and
not get killed
for
being who they are.
Right.
Like, there's no.
Just be people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Folks is folks.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, with this movie itself, I mean, it's not necessarily the fact that Dustin Hoffman is in a dress and makeup. I mean, there are other articles on it that look at it with today's lens, and it's somebody who is posing as a woman and what she has to do in order to get noticed.
Hmm.
Well, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of the part of the point, I think.
Yeah. And what she has to do, where the humor, and I thought about that. I'm like, okay, you know, what she has to do in order to stand out, in order to be able to, like, okay, learn how to be able to change the right clothes, how to be able to have shift focus and think of another person. And in reality, it's just Michael Dorsey just needs work.
Yeah.
You know, he just needs a job. I mean, he's that much of an asshole that he's
that perfectionist dickwad who's just impossible to work with.
Like, there have been several actors like that who have been very, very good actors, but after a while they're like, they're just kind of drummed out of everything.
Well, we hear about, like, was it Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Is supposedly, like, very difficult to work with.
Right. Yeah.
Like Batman?
Yeah.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
I gargle whiskey and razor blades. I'm Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, there are others that do that as well. Like, supposedly Jack Nicholson was very, very difficult.
Well, I could see that. It just he just kind of exudes that I'm going to make your life difficult kind of aura about him.
Yeah, supposedly he was in his later movies, and now he's fully retired.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of just, you know, a lot of, you know, there's the total opposite too, the people that are totally forgiving, like the Robert De Niro's of the world,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, can be very, very meta and, you know, very much, but is very, 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 very respectful, although he is terrible with interviews. But Tootsie is, you know, just an exploration. And I think as a piece, you know, there's some things like there have been parodies of it.
Mm-hmm.
Family Guy had a pretty good parody, and I do not have the audio queued up, but it doesn't really.
Was it Stewie?
Yeah, when Stewie did it, yeah.
It's more of a visual thing in the family. Yeah. That joke is more of a visual thing
for Family Guy. But I can vaguely recall him in the past.
Well, it was like when the scene when he's arguing with the. When he's arguing with his agent, he's like, "No one will ever hire you in this world," you know.
Oh yeah. And then they do the New York walking in the outfit. That's gotta be a trope. The main character walking through a crowd in New York, and they just kind of see shoulders up of everybody. There's a New York crowd montage.
I guess.
That's definitely like a New York trope. Like the whole, like the place is just absolutely packed, and you only ever like see a sea of people, and you just see that one person that stands out.
Yeah.
I remember that in time, like when we were walking around New York, and I think one thing you were very, very surprised at, like how the traffic, how people just know when to walk across the street.
Oh, yeah.
And you just got to kind of go with the flow of the crowd.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to get trampled.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Like, you just kind of go with that. Like, okay, there are people beeping horns and trying to turn left, and all of a sudden the crowd of people just move into the crosswalk, and we're like, okay, I guess we're doing this.
Mm.
You know?
If one of us gets taken out, the rest of us do too.
Yeah, it pretty much is. I just had images of like a bowling ball going against bowling pins.
See, I have to admit, I have never actually been to like New York aside from like driving through it, but I've never like been on foot in New York. It's just never been an opportunity I've had.
There's a lot of good and a lot of good things, but I do feel like I have been so many times at this point.
Yeah.
That a lot of things kind of go and repeat. You know, like it's good to go catch a show and do things and hang around Central Park. And, you know,
you have to go on a lengthy bus ride to get from Massachusetts to there, but true. It's better than driving there.
True, yeah.
I've driven through New York, and I ended up getting a nail in my tire on the way back from an 18-hour drive from Florida.
Fuck.
That was not a fun trip back, let me tell you.
Oh.
Having to stop every 20 minutes on the highway in Connecticut to refill the tire because I didn't have a spare. Ooh.
Was that the one you were in that really super shady hotel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we were going to die.
Yeah, and that really...
And the power went out in the middle of the night. It's just like, I'm going to put a chair under the doorknob and just pray we don't die.
Yeah, you just found yourself in a serial killer movie.
Yeah.
First time or what?
I've seen this a few times.
First time seeing it.
Yeah.
I think it was my first time seeing it, but I knew I knew what happened.
Yeah.
Because, like, the dramatic theory of storytelling lists it as an example of a complete story.
I think you and I watched it when you were doing the whole Dramatica thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because I do remember that. I did remember the ending and then the awkward farmhouse thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said last week, my only real exposure to like Tootsie was that one joke in The Critic.
Yeah.
Where when it's laundry day, he just wears all the promo stuff that he gets from all the movies. So each sock is like my left foot and Tootsie.
Oh, Tootsie toes, I get it.
And,
that's cute.
And I remember it from that Family Guy bit. Anyways, I remember it now, where Stewie, there's one of them there where Stewie was on Jolly Time Farm, the popular kid show in the universe.
And then
that's one of the earlier seasons, right? It's like when you realize that, like, the lady from Jolly Time Farm, whatever, is an absolute, like, monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's dressed as a girl as he had to get the part. And then, you know, he does that whole, the whole bit that Dustin Hoffman does at the end when he takes off all the wigs and stuff when they're going, live.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
spoilers.
Yeah,
I'm Edward.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm Stewie. You know, it's like, you know, and it's then the ending line of it. And I apologize for this one because it's a kind of a weird term, but he goes there. He's like, no, he's like, I'm a transvestite, which also begins with a letter T.
Damn, sorry, I cut you off.
My bad. I'm just glad everybody's got the same deal. But this one, I mean, there is some oddities that go on now and then, and like other things that I kind of, things that I liked are kind of funny, and then, you know, but there's a culture that's kind of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And the culture that I'm talking about is where everybody crowds around a soap. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Did Joss watch lots of soaps?
Yes. It's a shame she's not here because I like the soap opera in this one's kind of a send up of General Hospital.
Yeah.
And
General Hospital?
If I'm not mistaken, I think that was one of the ones she watched a lot.
Yeah.
I know, like, for me, it was Days of Our Lives because those are the stories my grandmother watched.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And if you asked her at any given time what was going on, she'd be like, I don't know.
And I did spend a summer while I was doing computer stuff watching Uploaded Dark Shadows.
Yes.
Dark Shadows was supposed to be way better than it had any right to.
Yeah. Dark Shadows was pretty good.
Not the movie, though.
No, the Johnny Depp movie can go to hell. No, that was not right. But
I like Johnny Depp well enough, but he needs to leave some stuff alone.
Yeah. No, it was really not all his fault, though. He did fine, but some of it it's not something you can do in an hour and a half.
Nah.
No, you didn't tell that whole story. It wasn't right.
Well, that was various plot lines.
But... yeah, it's very junky. Very junky. But, you know, in this time where it's like everybody has appointment television and everybody's crowded around this.
So long ago.
Yeah, it does feel like it was forever ago.
I'm going to get on my old man's soapbox. It's like kids are not going to understand the it's back on kind of thing. Like when there's a commercial break and you're just like breaking your neck to get back across the house to watch it.
Yeah, and you're pole vaulting over the sofa to try to, you know.
Well, that's good like, that they don't know that.
It's like, why didn't you just pause it? Oh, my sweet summer child.
Yeah, right.
It's
right.
The beauty of progress.
Right, yeah. And
it's like that one, oh God, that there was like one TikToker who had this whole thing about how, like, oh, all these Gen Xers saying, oh, we drank from the hose and we liked it. Were sinks not an option? Were you not able to drink from the sink? It was like, no, asshole, because we were thrown out of the house and they locked the door behind us. The hose was all we had. We were not allowed in the house. We were feral children.
yeah, that's a damn thing that happened here.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, you weren't around that.
Yeah, back. No, my parents would tell me to go outside and play for a while.
So yeah, we're not terribly like different in age. We're in the same thing. It's just like go outside, come back when the lights turn when the street lights turn on.
Well, my parents weren't like that.
No, mine were
in the backyard.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, mine were the one there, like, hey, you go outside and play for a while, just don't leave the driveway.
As far as that,
or go somewhere else or something. Or can you just get out? Can you just do something?
I'm pretty sure my dad threw me out of the house so he could play, like, Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
At least until my cousin deleted his save file, and he still hasn't forgiven my cousin for that to this day.
Ooh, really?
We're 41 years old.
Yeah.
Okay, and he still hasn't forgiven my cousin Greg for that.
It was back then when save files were really like lifeblood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially Legend of Zelda, because he had gotten to the second quest on his own.
What about the games before where you had to rely on a really complex password if you were lucky enough?
Well, see, that at least you had written down somewhere. And you could put that back in. If you lost your save file for the original Legend of Zelda, that shit was just gone. Start over, my dude. And there was no internet or game facts to go, oh wait, where's the second dungeon? Where am I supposed to go for this? No, you just had to wander around and figure that shit out.
Yeah.
Oh, like that goddamn barrel in Sonic 3, the fucking circus barrel that in no way could you ever guess that you press the D-pad up and down a bunch of times.
Because it didn't work on any other barrel, it was just that particular
you
one.
You know what, like, I'm talking about.
How am I supposed to know that? It's like, you just do?
I think I died of timeouts.
Yeah.
More than once trying.
Or I'll loop it back in, though, but it's like even with Bart Simpson versus the Spaceman's.
Oh, my God, that fucking game.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Get rid of everything purple. Okay. And then
fuck you, colorblind.
Yeah. Did you ever make it to the next level?
No.
The mall where you had to get rid of hats?
No.
Maybe.
I made it there. Once.
Yeah. Never did.
Fucking once.
No.
Maybe once.
Yeah.
And then the quicksand in the mall killed me.
Yeah.
But excuse me, what? The quicksand?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... Oh, I got to Ariel Monsters. Yeah. I think I got to the second level once.
And quicksand, folks, that thing that you learned in school that was supposed to be way more important.
Yeah, it's really way less of an issue in my adult life than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, or others like that, you know? Like that, but it's just, it brings you right into what this movie is in this atmosphere, because you have the soap, you have the appointment TV, you have a much more of a monoculture, where you have Michael Dorsey, who is a respectable actor, who is teaching acting, he's a perfectionist, he's going through different roles, and he's making ends meet as a waiter.
He tries to audition for a child. He tries to audition for a short guy.
You're too tall. No, I'm wearing lifts. No, we just don't need you.
It's like you're too tall. You're saying that to Dustin Hoffman, really?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna go with this here.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be polite and not say we don't want you.
Yeah. We just don't need you. It's funny. And after many months, he goes without a job. He hears about an opening on a daytime soap opera, just a Southwest General. So his friend and an acting student who's trying to help out, Sandy Lester.
He's been helping for 6 years?
Yeah.
I don't know if she's landed anything in those 6 years.
Either. Yeah, and Sandy Lester.
That's kind of the actor thing, too. It's like you just... It's the grind. You just keep at it until something happens, or it doesn't, and then you go home.
Yeah, there is a very good book that I read out of curiosity. It was Jenna Fisher's The Actor's Life.
Okay.
And Jenna Fisher, who played Pam in The Office, and among many other things. But, you know, she goes through step by step what it's like to be an actor. And, you know, we're in the statistics and things that she looks at, like the Screen Actors Guild, 85% of people in the union are unemployed at any given time.
Well, that's better than in this movie when Michael says 95% unemployment.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, no matter what, you're going to be out of work at some point, and you're going to have to consistently audition. For something. You're going to have to consistently do something or go after it and learn how to be able to interview and do those things constantly. And she's really like, yeah, there's glitz, there's glamour, there's very nice things about being an actor, but here's all the things you're really going to have to deal with.
It's definitely grimier than you think. And it's not nearly as glamorous all the time. Like,
arts are hard.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I do want to point out here, because we have a little bet going, and I'm curious to know what you think, Dan.
Oh?
Because when you have that surprise party, you see his apartment.
Oh! Was that supposed to be his apartment?
Yeah.
That was enormous.
His large apartment.
In New York. And he's unemployed. this is 80s kind of New York, because that kind of apartment to this day, like today... Not a chance. That's millions of dollars. Like, you want something that's less than a quarter of the size of this room, it's still going to be like, you know, $1,600 a month.
You got to live like Peter Parker, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That apartment, it's like any sitcom that's set in New York and they have like a giant apartment. I'm looking at you, Friends. That was New York, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have Seinfeld. Does Seinfeld compare? Doesn't seem that enormous, but
it's still a decent sized apartment for like New York. I've kind of fallen into the TikTok hole of tiny living. I don't know why. I don't remember looking this stuff up, but it's like it's half of my real suggestions now. And I'm watching these things like Oh, for only $2,400 in New York, you can have an apartment that you can almost not reach both walls by stretching your arms out.
Yeah. I've seen that. I've seen those with the tiny houses as well, and they're the little apartments, and there's also another one that does the tiny stuff, and then the guy goes back and forth to Japan.
I think I've seen, it's like a tall dude, dark hair.
Yeah.
He does, it's like all these apartments that are basically vertical instead of sprawling out, like everything goes up and you have, like you climb to your
bedroom.
That's
the one, yeah.
Isn't that a capsule hotel or something?
Capsule hotels have the similar thing. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, I'm going to sound weird here, and at this point, Joss isn't here to give me that weird look. I want to stay at a capsule hotel, even if just for like one night, just to say that I've done it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's one
find
of those.
Find out what it's like to be Pez.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much. Just like, is this how a bee lives? I'm just kind of in my little.
But you gotta dance around and. I don't know, make smells, I think.
We're going to communicate by shaking our asses. I'm just picturing that episode of Futurama where Bender's like, it's all right, I'm fluent in B.
I do remember that one. Yeah, and even there, like, that's old New York, and you have new New York there, but you have the older New York here, where...
This is still, like, grimy, gross New York, where...
Right,
like,
that's crime-ridden, and many other problems. Even there's a line there saying, you know, cab fare is super expensive, it's cheaper to get mugged when he's walking the girl home at the end of the party.
Oh, and they didn't even know about Uber yet.
Yeah, no.
They didn't know about surge pricing.
Right. Right. And, you know, I did some math here on this. So, like, he has to raise $8,000 for his friend's play.
Yeah, that's Bill Murray, right?
Yeah, okay. Bill Murray, who plays his roommate, Jeff.
He's kind of pretentious.
Yeah, who, you know.
Want people to come to my play.
Yeah.
And months later, be like, what happened?
Yeah.
Right. Bill Murray, pretentious?
No. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what happened? I love the man, but no. What did you say? I want to do a play where just everybody comes out from the rain.
Oh, I want a theater that's only open during the rain, and the people come in from the rain and they're alive, but only when the rain is.
But and no, it's like only like eight people see it. It's just like, oh, so you're afraid of money. Okay,
yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't want to see this. Do this for the art. And like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I've known a lot of actor people, and you know, in the place you and I have worked in the past together, there have been people who I've known who have been actors.
It's just like I'm only here temporarily until I get my big break. No, you're not.
Yeah,
no, you're not. You're gonna be answering phones for a while.
16 years later.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling Sheridan. Yeah, and that's the same deal. And, you know, some of them, no, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, no. And, you know, there are others that do it. And I know it's not to discourage anyone, but, I mean, that's just the reality of it.
It took me forever to get a contract.
Yeah, but you got it.
Well, not acting,
but yeah.
Illustrating.
But you got it still. I mean,
it's a similar kind of thing, too. It's like you got to, you know, dozens, hundreds of other people that you're competing against.
Yeah.
Like, thousands around the world, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there are others that do that. And, I mean, there's a good book I can't remember the title of it, but it was Nick Offerman.
Paddle Your Own Canoe?
Paddle Your Own Canoe.
I just remember you.
Yeah, Paddle Your Own Canoe. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, thank you. But where he goes through is his semi-autobiography. Where he's talking about when he got the role on Parks and Rec as, you know, as Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go through auditions, you read your lines, but also you have to sit in front of the network. And it's like, the network, these people, they just don't care. Do you have a look, and his description was, do you have a look of somebody who can sell toast? You know, they want to sell a microwave. They want to get all these commercials. They want to sell a car. Do you have that look that can sell a car on this show? And they can automatically say no right away. And it's very, very, very heartless. And, you know, when you have Michael Dorsey, who is going around and he's getting all these auditions, and he can't get these auditions. He can't do a voiceover. He does a vegetable commercial at one point.
I guess back when tomatoes were considered vegetables.
Yeah. Do you think that's a reference to the whole, like, peas commercial that Orson Welles had to do?
I was just thinking
possibly
of
the green penis.
Yeah.
No, that can't be right.
Yeah.
That just sounds terrible.
Of the guy who, on that episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire that we sat in the audience for, and he talked about doing a Fruit of the Loom commercial, and he was like, grapes or something? I don't know.
I remember those commercials.
Yeah. Then he cracked a joke, and I laughed so loud I shorted a microphone out above me.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, there's your X-Men power.
No, and still to this day, if that episode ever comes up in syndication, you hear a big, hey! And then
And then it cuts off suddenly because the mic just exploded.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was somebody with a headset that was pointing towards me going, no!
Like, no! Like,
yeah,
stop!
That was it's just, damn, that was funny. I'll never audition for a game show again because of that. But just see, so he auditions and he gets that, and he's with his agent, and you know, they're going back and forth how he's not going to get hired because he's such an asshole. But he tries him, you know, Sandy, who he's with, tries him successfully to get the role as hospital administrator, Emily Kimberly.
And he's got a psycher up.
And that really is one hell of a name, too. Emily Kimberly.
Right.
I meant to look this up, and then I didn't. Kimberly actually a last name?
I think what happened was Emily Kimberly was such a generic name that no matter who could be in there, regardless of race or ethnicity, it's just believable. Or it could be somebody like, you know, who just does that, who goes by their first and middle name.
Yeah, it is a surname.
Yeah.
Apparently it's,
yeah.
It's English.
Yeah. Oh. You know, so it's just very, very general here. So, desperation, following the argument, Michael then disguises himself as a woman named Dorothy Michaels. And in the audition, he gets to go to...
The parallel, because when you start the movie, visually we see close-ups of him putting stuff on. We think it looks kind of like he's applying makeup, but it's so he could glue a mustache on.
Right.
So they kind of...
Yeah, and do some weird Clark Gable-looking thing.
Yeah, that mustache. But I don't know if this is his makeup putting on scene, if that happened yet.
I think that not just yet, but
it's
I think
parallel.
That's also because he does say that he uses the excuse that he's going to, he tells the network he has Dorothy has a makeup allergy.
Yeah,
so he's
going to
do his makeup at home. So they'll come in as, you know, as Dorothy already done up. You know, and that's just where it could be here. But they've got to, like, he takes the job so he can raise $8,000 to produce his roommate's play.
And then he can be in that play. And also, what's her face? The student.
Sandy.
So he's not as much of an asshole as it leads you to believe, because he's doing this for his friends. Yeah, he's benefiting from it, too.
Right.
But
why not?
Yeah.
Helped everybody. But is this before or after they sleep together?
That
happens after.
Because he's already established, and then he's like, oh, wait, I only got one set of clothes as Dorothy.
Yeah,
so
he's
I
trying
to
figure out looks.
Yeah, so he's trying to raid her closet while she's in the shower, and then steps out.
Yeah, and then he's all in his underwear, and she's like, what are you doing? And then you want to have sex or something like that.
Yeah, that was basically it, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, he plays Kimberly as Dorothy, a plausible feminist, which surprises the other actors in the crew, because she is, you know, going against the type and empowered Gloria Steinem type.
Yeah, they were kind of expecting this character to be kind of like the meek and kind of, like, accepting of things instead of...
And why was the director... Wasn't the director pushing her, or was it he... Advising Sandy to push.
Or was I reading this wrong?
No, the director is trying to be able to just go with the flow and get it done.
Oh, I thought they were looking for someone assertive to begin with.
No. No, they're just kind of playing along because you have that lead doctor who's the chief surgeon type.
Yeah.
Which I cannot find who the name of that actor is, but the guy who plays it also played in the Naked Gun movies.
Huh.
Aside Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
This is going to bug me.
Yeah.
To Wikipedia.
So, I mean, he plays that one. I don't think it's on there. But he plays that, you know, and one of the things he's like, or learns that he's going to have to kiss the, he's going to have to kiss the head doctor. And then they,
he's a creep, and yeah. I guess he kisses everyone. And it's a last minute script change, so I guess did that on, I don't know who did that.
Yeah, and,
maybe the perv doctor taught the writers. I don't know.
I think it was.
Yeah, that's what it comes off as.
It's yeah, like I think it was. I think that's what it was because he has to be able to, he has to be able to get in there, and of course
he's a scummy perv. Also,
yeah, yeah.
And yeah. He just gleefully sprays mouth spray in his mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, Banaka.
Yeah, which is yeah.
I remember that back in the day.
That
thinking,
still exists.
I mean, I as of
don't
like the.
Know if it does?
As of the early 2000s, it did, because I thought for some reason it would mask the fact that I was smoking.
Oh, wow.
And no amount of, you know, breath spray masks that smell.
Yeah. I remember that being a thing, and I think that's also a thing that's gone with the time. Yeah. Because I've been going through watching Scrubs again,
mm-hmm.
and that's something, and then one of the...
And then after that, it was Altoids.
Yeah.
And then breath strips.
Yeah, and then one of the jokes there, like kind of running through, is that there's the chief of medicine, Dr. Kelso, has a big generation gap with everybody else.
Yeah,
and he's just an old man who's from a different generation.
Mm.
So he sprays that in his mouth all the time.
Yeah.
On a lot of episodes, is like, oh, is like, you know, there's others that are just very, very different. But this is just, you know, things that are a little off, but then you have that assertive male and the, where you have that, like, okay, an actress who is going off script and then suddenly, like, you know, okay, they're not changing anything or this is not right and they're just going off there. It's because this was reel-to-reel film.
I thought and, it was like soap operas, like, every day, so...
Well, see,
that and like, yeah, we can't really afford to do multiple takes because film's expensive and we're under a real tight budget.
I think,
in this movie, weren't they able to maybe do a couple, except they kept having some film editor idiot spill stuff on?
If that was the only thing, then they had to stay, if that was really it. So This went on all the way through the mid-90s, and there was the show Mad About You.
Mm-hmm.
That they had that problem as well, and they had to have the act. Many actors who came in came out.
Is that Paul Reiser?
Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt and others. Okay. But you know, anyone who was a frequent guest star, they had to be sure that they memorized their lines and really had to do that because there was such a budget crunch. And a lot of others, they could only afford one or two takes or other takes, maybe a third if they felt good about it.
It's like, no second takes. Let's go.
And then the digitizing of the cameras, which, you know, became more digital film, quote, film, with that, then it became cheaper to do that because it really just was a matter of storage space. So when you see that one take and all of a sudden they're going, and then you got to produce, and you're right on this fact. Soap operas also produce so damn much every year.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
it's like a movie.
Incredible?
Yeah.
It's like feature length movie roughly every day.
Feature length movie every week.
Wait, and I thought they were like half hour. Were they half hour or not?
Half hour to an hour.
I know Days of Our Lives was an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one my mom watched quite a bit, was All My Children.
Did they all drag things out pretty slowly?
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember when watching Dark Shadows, sometimes it just seemed very fillery, which is kind of why it worked for me, not half paying attention while I did computer stuff. But
yeah, I agree.
Still, if you... I don't know.
It's like watching any filler arc of an anime. It's just like, there's really nothing happening right now. It's like, oh, Goku's getting his driver's license. I can safely do something else during this episode.
Yeah, or there are others that are like that too, you know, that are like that as well. I remember it was one plot line, I got caught up on something and watching it was a character in All My Children, Natalie, who fell down a well, and then her stepsister, Yeah.
My name is Timmy O'Toole.
Right. Yeah, and then her stepsister got plastic surgery and then posed as her and then started running her life. But this supposedly was in real time, and she fell down this well and was in this well for like 9 months.
Oh, God.
You know, but knowing what I know now, it was because one of the actresses had was pregnant. And they just kind of
inconvenient pregnancy.
Yeah, so they created this plot line just for somebody to have maternity leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They were Fergert.
Fergert.
They get
pregnant. Oh my god, that's like the best thing on the internet.
Am I Pagondi?
Can't you get
Pagondi? But Dorothy in the scene, instead of kissing him, she punches him. Does she punch him in the face?
No, she whacks him with the chart.
Oh, yeah.
She's
not taking any of that shit. And then, I guess at first, the director's stunned, but then he wants to keep it in.
Yeah, what it looked like was the director's kind of stunned there, but the producers are looking, going, yeah, okay, let's go with this.
Yeah,
like, this works. Let's follow this plot line.
Yeah,
there's better drama.
Yeah,
but then there's the script for the script editors are really just kind of not there at all, because there's script editors there who are supposed to be able to like catch things and see when something's not going right. But, you know, primarily making sure hand placements are right there.
There were people looking at the.
They're looking at the prompters.
Hell are you going off script?
Now you have the older actor who's just playing the doctor there, and he just kind of not knowing what to do, but then kind of going, oh, okay.
Improv! Yeah. Yes, and.
Yeah, but also scared to death that they go live.
Let's pass along this energy ball and everything.
Yeah, but he's scared to death of the fact if they go live, then it's like, okay, there's also been problems later.
And there was also the scene with the lady playing the nurse. I can't remember her name. The love interest?
Sandy and
Julie.
Julie.
Yeah, so.
I forgot.
Yeah.
It was something about her falling or something.
Yeah, well, she fell and then he caught her.
Yeah.
You know, as Dorothy caught her and picked her up and realized that, oh my gosh, you're really strong. As a single mother with a daughter, the previous relationship, it's unhealthy with the show's, and she's with the show's director, Ron. And, at the party, Michael has, when they go through things and she's running lines and, they said, would somebody just be really super direct, with me and just say, hey, I'd like to go make love to you. I'd like to do this. And then, he at a party goes up to her and just says that line.
Dumbass.
And then she throws water, a shot of champagne in his face.
I'm just thinking, you're going to give it away.
Right. Right.
It's going to be like, how the hell did you know those exact words?
Right, yeah.
Stalker.
Yeah, and then it's later, as Dorothy makes, the tentative advance, when Julie ends the relationship with Ron, per Dorothy's advice, making it, but makes it known she's not a lesbian. And a very, very, very awkward back and forth, where they're almost about to kiss after they're running lines. Like, no, this is the waste on me. Look past me. It's not the clothes.
Are we skipping past the whole farmhouse thing?
No, I'm getting to it. But the,
the kid almost kissed that happens after that.
Yeah. But, where the fact is, and then that farmhouse thing, when they're going to see her dad. And her dad, who very, very clearly has a crush on Dorothy.
Yeah.
You know. Oh,
see that? That kind of stuff that kind of humor, I've said it before, awkward humor just makes me feel awkward.
Yeah.
It's like this whole part, I'm just like, I don't like it, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, and with,
Michael I don't think he wants to go at first, but she talks him into it, or I don't know.
Yeah, and then with the scene where they're packing and Bill Murray's like, stop packing.
Don't do this.
Like, you don't have to. You don't have to do this. But like, Bill Murray is very clearly phoning this in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's there for maybe a week.
It's like they caught him in between, like, bites of his sandwich.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, yeah, I'll be here. It's like, oh, you film around me eating this sandwich.
Pretty okay, much,
this is
yeah.
what you're going to have to do.
Yeah, most of his scenes are in that apartment anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he very rarely, I think there's a very few that he's outside anyway, you know. So I think they just did all that, and it was like filming, but he's like trying, like, you don't have to do this, you don't have to go, and like... Well, what do we do? You know, you have this date with Sandy that you're going to have to figure out, and it's like skipping dates in order to try to meet up with Julie.
Sometimes it's that, and sometimes it's like they had to work late at the soap, and Sandy's getting increasingly upset with him because when they had sex, she said that a lot of times it gets weird if she has sex with a friend. And then they don't stay friends anymore, and she doesn't want that to happen, and now it looks like it's happening.
Because, yeah, he's
coming, he doesn't want to tell her the secret.
Yeah, obviously, and he's coming across as just...
She thinks he's probably cheating.
Yeah.
Well, emotionally, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't interested in her in the first place. It was like the panic kind of... she caught me looking through her stuff. Oh shit. It's because I like you.
Yeah.
Like, he's been lying from the word go.
Yeah, I mean, it is shown that, you know, he is a good actor.
Yeah.
You know, that he can embody himself in a way, and, like, I believe...
I have soap in my eyes! I have soap in my eyes!
Right, yeah.
The phone.
Yeah, and very obviously, like, I could probably see it, because I think, like, I wonder... With some actors who do some roles, and, you know, I've been listening to podcasts for some shows that he's doing, like, if they kind of get a little sociopathic after a while, you know, they may lose themselves in the role.
The method acting thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, you know, like the Judd Nelsons and others that do that, and, you know, the Jim Carreys that, you know, very clearly lost his mind for a little while.
As far as I know, he's still an anti-vaxxer, so he has still lost his mind.
Yeah, but I mean, he, like, if you see the documentary on Netflix, Jim and Andy.
I have not.
You know, when he was doing that Andy Kaufman movie.
Andy Kaufman was a lunatic. If you're going to embody that, you're going to kind of lose yourself.
No, he went off the deep end, man. Like, he went really, really went off the deep end and just he told people Andy Kaufman's spirit embodied him and was told just to be, he wouldn't answer as Jim. He wouldn't do, like, I think he believed, I think that was the movie that broke him. Like, that one really, really broke him terribly, like, and other stuff. But, you know, I kind of wonder, like, was Michael Dorsey, and the reason why I bring that up is because there are times where he's breaking down. And you could see, like...
Because I guess people like Dorothy way more than him, and he's getting it really into it, because he seems to genuinely like going out, like, shopping as Dorothy to fill out the rest of the wardrobe.
And stuff. Like, they're walking down the street, he's looking at jewelry and stuff, like, yeah.
Are you sure this is just acting?
Yeah.
Kind of
thing. Because
Dorothy's a better person than Michael.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, the character, but the character's not real. You know, even like there's a scene where Gina Davis is like, oh, we look at you like our mom.
Mm.
You know, and he says, like,
you got mom zoned?
Yeah, it's like, what kind of mother would I be if I didn't? It's like, they all protect her, and they all like feel better about it. And even a scene later where they're wondering, like, okay, now we've, you know, he gets word that the network wants to keep her on for a while.
Mm.
You know, wants to go for another year. And it was supposed to be a few months of a run. And then you're like, okay.
Then he'll go do his friend's play.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. How can I do this? Or what can I do? Like, okay, is Dorothy going to have to die?
He's getting in deeper and deeper shit.
Yeah.
And needs a way out. Because it's not just complicating his career, but all the relationships around him.
Everything.
Yes.
Yeah, it's complimenting, you know, everything. And, like, even there's a date where he's supposed to be at 5:30, and then he's at Sandy's house much later. You know, everyone she answers the door, like, your dinner's burned. Yeah. Your dinner's burned. And, I mean, I kind of, like, that took me out personally for a bit, because, like, I personally can't stand being late.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those, I was raised like in the military style where like on time is 15 minutes early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's, you know, that I always had. And like I can remember like going to a karate class and my sister was going to drop me off. And then she was kind of just like, you know, just lollygagging around. Like, well, don't worry, it doesn't start till 4:30. It takes 10 minutes to get there so we can leave at 4:15. You know, I'm like, wait, no, I have to be there early. I have to. She's like, no, you don't have to be there early. I'm like, no, I have to be there early so I could set up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and things
then
the like
class should be set to start 15 minutes early then.
Right. Early. But I mean, it's still, but personally, it's just like, I have to be on there, you know, or waiting or be there at some point. And she just didn't want to wait around. You know, she just didn't want to wait around.
For smartphones?
Yeah.
Waiting around?
Right. Yeah, and I can understand her because day and age before the internet, you know, that makes sense to me, you know. So are we here? Dorothy and Julie at the farmhouse.
Yeah, it's getting extra complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not my favorite part of the movie.
Because it's like, when is it all falling apart in a horrible way?
Yeah. Like, we're going to know when it's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to know when it's going to happen.
Characters keep talking about being yourself and being honest, especially Julie, and how Dorothy's so honest in herself, and then it's like, ooh. Now I'm picturing Michael pulling his shirt collar, like, ooh.
Yeah. Got the Michael Scott, ooh.
Right. Yeah. Or any of the feels that they have. I mean, it's still not... You know, when you start to lose it, you're like, okay, like, what are they going to do? Or, you know, what's going to happen? And then I start to realize when they get back. The comedy is, like, now he's got himself in this lie so badly that he has to do whatever he has to do
like
in order to stay with it.
Yeah, there's no saving it. Like, even, coming clean is just going to go real bad.
Yeah.
It's like, he's so deep, he's just kind of screwed himself.
Yeah. And he has to do it, and he has to do it at this point where the, and let's see, where are we here? So, Dorothy's popularity is here. The producers want to extend her for another year. Michael, says, you know, there's a technical problem, and then they got to perform live. And then performing live there, where
he didn't go over the part where her dad falls in love with Dorothy.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So uncomfortable.
Or, you know, proposing in the middle of a restaurant. Although, how the heck Dustin Hoffman learned how to dance in those heels like that?
God.
I mean, that's damned impressive is what it is.
Yeah, like, that was...
I'm not sure I can even stand up in heels, to be honest with you.
I've taken a few dance lessons in general, and I'm just thankful I had comfortable shoes.
Mm-hmm.
In general, and I have a buddy of mine who I haven't talked to in a while, but he's a dance teacher in Toronto, sounds like a genuine lie. And, you know,
you wouldn't know him. He's in Canada.
You don't know him. He lives in Canada.
Yeah. No, that only works for, like, girlfriends.
Right. We had this really great summer, fun time together. But, you know, he taught me a few salsa moves and things, but it's just like the one thing he did impress was, you know, make sure your shoes are comfortable.
Right.
In general, but, you know, where all this is happening, and then, you know, where he gives the revelation that he is Edward Emily's twin,
Emily's
who took
twin
the
sister.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's brilliant.
It is
a perfect
soap opera.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
absolutely
why.
Soap opera.
Yeah, and this allows everybody a way out, but Julie is so outraged at Michael's deception that she punches him in the stomach once the cameras stop rolling and
it
storms off.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and supposedly that scene, Dustin Hoffman gave direction and, you know, like, he knew it was coming.
It's like, actually hit me. Make it look real.
That was his thing when they were rehearsing it. Just said, you know, go ahead and do it, but don't tell me it's coming.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like, you know, to do that. So that hit and that, ooh!
Well, that was real.
That was a real reaction. So it's like the only way they're going to get it to do real is just to, just to really go for it. Very similar to a, very similar to a scene in one of my favorite movies he ever did was Meet the Fockers.
Yep.
And the sequel to Meet the Parents.
Mm-hmm.
With Dustin Hoffman and Bart.
He's like Ben Stiller's like hippie dippy dad.
Yes. Ben Stiller and his parents are Dustin Hoffman and Barbara Streisand.
Right, I forgot it. I forgot it was Barbara.
No, the Streisand effect. I own that movie, and it is hysterical every time. I haven't watched it in a while, but
I've only seen it once. Like,
oh, that has to be in rotation.
Let's see, the Meet the Fockers again. It's the uncomfortable humor.
Yeah.
It's like that. That is just not my jam.
Social faux pas.
Yeah, but it does have a really good message in the end, and I'm gonna get into that. But which really makes it all okay, and it's one of my top tens personally. But there's a scene where they're playing and they're outside and they're playing with the family, and Robert De Niro's character gets involved in the touch football game that they're playing, and Dustin Hoffman has to tackle Robert De Niro's character. He does this full frontal flip and lands on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's hysterical in general, but they obviously had a stuntman for Robert De Niro, but Dustin Hoffman said, "Let me do it." And the guy said, "Okay." So,
let me do my own stunts. I instantly regret this.
Yeah. So, but you know, let me do the tackle. Like, I want to go for it and do that because he has a sense when physical comedy is good.
Mm-hmm. My physical comedy sense is tingling. Yeah.
But I mean, it's still.
Is it supposed to tingle? Ow!
My physical comedy senses are tingling. Then after the stunt. The tingling stopped. Oh. I think I might actually be hurt.
Yeah. The tingles
my whole body fell asleep.
My tingles are burning now.
It tastes like burning.
So some weeks later, Michael is moving forward to producing Jeff's play. He gives Les back.
Do you think he kept the necktie scene? That was just like a weird.
You're right.
Bill Murray talking about I gotta have the neckties. Maybe I'm gonna do the necktie scene without the necktie.
I don't think he had lines for that. This really just hit me now. I think Bill Murray was just riffing,
just straight up ad libbing. He's like,
And some ties. Years before that, you had Caddyshack, which a lot of that movie was ad libbed. And you know, in general,
is it good
or
bad?
Caddyshack is fantastic.
Well, I know we watched it, but I mean, that could go easily go improv. The whole movie could go.
There are a few really good improv movies, though.
Sounds like a risky.
I'm trying to think. Like,
yeah,
I think like a good chunk of President's Day that we watched.
Yeah,
I think a good chunk of that was made up on the fly.
It had to be.
It definitely feels like it.
Yeah. It had to be, but I don't know, Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
It was one there that had a shell of a script.
These go to 11.
Yeah, just had a shell of a script, but just did that, and yeah, but those are good. I think, you know, I think Bill Murray, who does a lot of ad-libbing in general, and I mean, we did, what the hell was the one, Groundhog Day.
I mean, he ad-libs life, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
like I still love the fact that he'll randomly walk up to someone's table, take a French fry, and be like, "No one will ever believe you."
I was at that Wendy's and I tried to bait Bill Murray.
You can't force it, man. You gotta let it happen.
You know, I did that. There was a kid sweeping up. He's like, "You're waiting for Bill Murray, aren't you?" Yeah, he doesn't come on Tuesdays.
Does he come often?
Damn it! Yeah, apparently they're all kind of in on the joke and wait for it.
Nice.
And I can understand for a while. Like, I worked in fast food for a while. Mm-hmm. And you can understand when you work in restaurants, you kind of wait for that to come back.
You need those. You need those moments. Bill Murray.
Yeah, but you need that when it happens. You kind of go, okay, cool. You know, because a lot of it can be boring.
So yeah, you got to find your joy where you can, especially when working with the public.
Yeah. Even now, where I work at a doctor's office, I mean, we have so many things that we do to just kind of go rogue, and you can turn your brain off and just go through it. But the people who are with you, and there are little things you do that are fun, you know, that are fun. But Bill Murray here is just kind of doing his thing, and I can see your point there. Where were we? So less, Michael returns the engagement ring that was given by Sandy's dad, Julie's dad, excuse me.
You're jumping the gun there, man.
Yeah.
At least the character is like, I know it's fast, but blah, blah, blah. I make up my mind.
Right. Yeah, he says there, the only reason you're still living is because I never kissed you. But again, really super lost time. You're just afraid
you would have liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, really super lost of time. Or as my friend Alice would say, if we gave you tingles, it might mean something.
Yep.
You know?
Just afraid you might like it.
Yeah. Despite his anger, Les admits Michael was good company as Dorothy and buys him another beer. Michael later waits for Julie outside the studio. She's reluctant to talk to him, but he tells her that he and his father played pool and had a really good time.
And he admits that he misses Dorothy as a person because he was a better...
Yeah.
Like, how did that... It's like he's a better
man.
I have that line right here. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was a better man with you as a woman than I ever was as a woman as a man.
I'm getting Tropic Thunder vibes.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised
as another dude.
I'm a rooster illusion. All right, fuck, he's gone. Let's go.
We have to
find my jelly beans. Yeah. I need my jelly beans.
Yeah. I'm going to say right now, I think, you know, when I think Jocelyn would agree with us here, mm-hmm. but I think we have to find a way to put that movie in rotation this year.
We got to get Tropic Thunder in at some point.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a Jack Black month.
Yeah.
Ooh. We'll work on that. There's something there.
Ooh, yeah, we'll because I could do School of Rock.
Yeah.
But I could probably recite that script, even though it's been a long time. But, you know, so Julie forgives them. They walk away and engage in the conversation, and the movie wraps up. Now, there's a thing that I like about this is there's a lot of funny moments, but the fact that this is number two...
I don't know if that counts as the second funniest movie of all time.
No.
I don't know.
No.
I mean, it definitely had its moments. There were a couple...
Solid.
Yeah.
It's solid.
It's a solid movie. Yeah. A couple moments that had me go, but funniest movie of all... I'd have to... For my money, anyway, The Birdcage is definitely higher up on the list of funniest 100%. Movies of all goddamn time.
100%, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I totally, totally agree with you on that one. But the I'm just looking up right now. AFI 100 years, 100 laps. Is Some Like It Hot.
Oh. I mean, I can see it.
Yeah,
yes.
But again, I don't know.
Now below
the thing with humor is also subjective.
Yeah, right? I totally agree.
What you find hysterical, I could find cringe.
Though when you do look at it, yeah, this is number two, but right below that is going to irritate you, Kez.
Right.
Dr. Strangelove.
Ew.
Yeah.
Okay, I saw that movie once.
Yeah.
A very long time ago, and I think I was stoned.
Yeah.
So I remember very little.
Did we review it?
We did. Yeah, we couldn't get an extra one. It was just you and me. That one, I know we didn't like it. No, we didn't like it. It's
overblown.
Yeah.
Something about juices.
It's like people saying that Citizen Kane's the best movie of all time. It's like,
No.
It's good, but I wouldn't call it the best movie of all time. No.
I think it's because it innovated a bunch of new... camera angles and shit.
Yeah, it added to it.
So
it's
historically important.
Yeah, that could walk so others could run. And, you know, But then you have others like,
then we have things like Battlefield Earth that proves that the Dutch angle is not necessarily a good thing.
But you have others that are, you know, that are genuinely funnier here. You have number 6, Blazing Saddles.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, right?
Where the white women at?
Yeah. Excuse me while I whip this out.
You know, they're just, you know, idiots.
Yeah.
Morons.
Yeah.
I miss Gene Wilder.
Number 13, Young Frankenstein.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, then you have the
That was the first one I came in on, wasn't it?
Yes.
Young Frankenstein, yeah. Because you were doing the Mel Brooks thing, and I happened to see it on Facebook. I'm like, hell, I'll do it. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do one or two episodes. Over 300 later.
300 episodes later.
Yay!
Yeah. But looking at others, too, like Arsenic and Old Lace is number 30.
That was a good one. It's still holds
that
up.
One is hysterical.
I'm just glad it's on the list.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that movie deserves to be higher up, but at least it's on the list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I agree with you. And we're going to go through others. I mean, next week is number 7. We have MASH.
Now, see, I've seen a lot of the show, not all of it. I haven't. I'm nowhere near the authority on it that you guys are.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the movie. I've seen a lot of the show, not necessarily in order. It's been all over the place.
Well, doesn't have any of the same. Well, isn't only one actor like the same actor?
Gary Berghoff.
Yeah, he's the only one from the movie to be in the show. Isn't a bunch of disjointed vignettes held together by the speaker announcement?
And it's actually it's one of those movies that, in general, is better when you know the back end story. You know, of how it shot and how it was put together.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of it was put together when the actors didn't know that they were being filmed. So there are things that happened in general, but, you know, I'm looking at all this and looking at the top 100 of all time. There are others that are really good and others I want to check out, but there are so many of these that I see it's subjective. And a lot of people here, and this is to you, audience, in general, you're going to look at this and go, shit, that was funny? We talked about it earlier, but some things are subjective now. Like, you have number 67 is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh.
But then
that was clearly a comedy.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Doubtfire is still objectively a good movie.
Yeah.
Some of the jokes did not age well.
Right. Right. And others there. So you have Victor Victoria.
Think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, which kind of
goes. Posters for a play version at college or something.
Father of the Bride, City Slickers, Women of the Year, Great Ball of Fire.
Father of the Bride. Was it Father of the Bride or Cheaper by the Dozen that Joss was super into?
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but several of them are Robin Williams. I mean, there are a lot of these that we did that are here. And that's the point of it is you really, really, really got to take a look at it through a lens. Like, you know, one of those that's still really high up there, number 62, Sherlock Jr. Buster Keaton.
Vaguely recall.
Yeah.
Have I seen that one?
You have not.
I have.
Okay. No, you have not. But Sherlock Jr.
But I don't remember.
Yeah. I know we've done a few Buster Keaton ones. I just couldn't remember if that was one of them.
Steamboat Bill Jr.?
Steamboat Bill Jr. we did,
That's the Falling House one.
The ever famous one of all time, but there are others there, so let's just take a break for ourselves. We'll be right back on the other side of this, and we'll do a little fantasy cast. And we're back. So, fantasy casting.
I had a couple of ideas, and it's a little different fantasy casting than normal, because we're not changing the cast, but we're changing the role, specifically Dustin Hoffman's role, because every time I hear Dustin Hoffman talk, I think of Hook, because I've seen that movie 73,000 times.
I didn't realize that was him, so I just think of Rain Man.
Yeah.
I see Rain Man's also an option in there, but just like picture like instead of Dorothy, he's dressing up like Captain Hook.
Oh.
Nothing else changes. No one else reacts differently, but it's just, it's Captain Hook. In the, it's like the, like back in the day with, I think it was it Some Like It Hot? The first Marilyn Monroe one we watched.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, just replace Marilyn Monroe with Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
Nothing else changes. It's just, you know, just him slinking around.
It'd be, yeah. We re-released that episode, and I totally forgot about that joke.
Yep.
And that stuck in my head for days.
It's just, you know, this...
Think about the food pyramid.
Yeah. It's just creepy-ass Brian Warner just kind of, like... oozing around the set, and nobody's addressing it. Just still treating it like it's Marilyn Monroe.
So everyone's disappointed that he doesn't have the hook. Is that?
I think so.
Because obviously sex doesn't matter to them in this scenario, so it's got to be the hook or the hat comes right off like that.
But then who would be Smee? Because he needs a Smee to bounce off of. Because
his friend, because the playwright,
Bill Murray is Smee. I could see it.
I would go with that. Yeah.
I could see the two of them doing that, you know, doing the yeah. old gay couple like yeah. bickering back and forth
yeah.
kind of dynamic that they had going. I could yeah. see that.
Then I could see that one. Even I was thinking the only thing I had was taking the Jeff character played by Bill Murray and of Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh God, yes.
But Gilbert Godfrey turned up to 11. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Geez.
You don't have to do this!
I met a man the yeah. other day. Well, not met, but I was behind him in line at a convenience store. I swear to God, this man is Iago.
Oh, nice. And like, no.
He was talking, he was one of those people that spends their whole day and their entire paycheck at the convenience store doing, like, lottery tickets.
Oh, yeah, so I hear this guy,
yeah, give me a 10 and a 4 and 3 13s, and
that's amazing.
I'm just listening to this, and the guy leaves. I come up to the counter, and I'm like, that certainly is a voice. He's like, and the guy's like, dude, you have no idea. He's here all goddamn day. I'm like, is he actually a cartoon parrot? Is this what is happening here? And the guy's like, he might be. I don't know, man.
The hat comes right off.
Yeah.
You deceived me. I wanted to marry you for your hat.
the only one other ad was added that because I wanted Bill Murray to replace that just to hear... Gilbert Godfrey do those weird ass things about, you know, pretentious actors.
So he could read 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah.
I am
sorry. We didn't have groupies when I was there. I want to do that and I want to get a dangerous hooker.
I am so sad that he passed away because, one, he was a great actor, and two, I wanted to save up enough money to get a cameo from him to do a promo for us.
Yes.
That would be like, you're listening to the Movie Theater Time Machine. Ain't you lucky? Or some kind of knock, something like that. That would have been amazing. But unfortunately, I'm poor and he passed away.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Gilbert.
What everyone forgets, too, is when they resurrected Hollywood Squares.
Yeah.
And he would just say the wrong answer and then berate the person behind the desk.
What was he the host or was he one of the squares?
He was one of the squares.
All right.
Later, he'd be like, "You fool!
You screwed it up."
Yeah, and they just berate them constantly, and it was just
how dare you?
Yeah. Honestly, listeners, go look that up on YouTube because that is hours and hours of fun. That, you know, it's just, that show just genuinely sucks because it's tic tac toe.
Yep.
In general, but that made it so damn funny. that was so good. I mean, I don't really have much more of a fantasy casting on this.
That was the only thing I really had, because like I told you guys before we started recording, a lot of this movie just kind of slid off my brain.
It slides out. It does.
That could also be me being a smooth brain. I don't know. But a lot of it didn't catch.
No, you're right. It does slide out because there's a lot of it that just, it's not... today.
Yeah.
You know, it's not today.
What? On Movie Theater Time Machine? We watched an old movie?
Yeah,
what
right.
the shit?
But you're looking at it this type of brain, though, you know, where it's something different. And, you know, the next one I'm hoping is going to have something set up a little differently. Because when you have...
Now, speaking of smooth brain, I've already lost what the next one was.
mesh.
Yes, okay. Yeah. We were just talking about
mounds
that.
Of mashed potatoes.
Yeah. And it's still, I'd say, it's a difference. There's a big, big difference here. So I'll kind of see what rolls with it, and we're going to have fun with this one.
Yeah, my idea was just kind of Tropic Thunder for as far as fantasy casting, but I don't know if that's really fantasy casting so much as jokes.
With the Tootsie?
Yes.
Okay.
So Tropic...
You know, dude playing another dude, and like now Tootsie set in a jungle.
Yeah.
They land in they land in an actual hospital, and they're not prepared to handle it in reality.
This motherfucker's dead.
Oh, God.
No, it's just corn syrup. Look, really irony tasting corn syrup. Ah. I killed a panda. Oh, God. Okay, no. Okay, hold on. It's all right. We've been over this. They're just hookers. They don't have family. Oh, God. I need to watch Tropic Thunder again. That is... Okay.
It's and the other thing I said movie. Was, hey, what if it was the cast of Scrubs?
Oh, God.
I don't know. You need a creepy doctor.
Yeah. The cast of Scrubs there, so you have the head doctor would be, Kelso.
Yeah.
So I mean, Kelso, whether then you have
the... Yeah, talking about cheating.
Yeah.
Because he had a girlfriend, and it was
Oh, yeah, he's playing that. Yeah.
Tell my wife I'll be out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, what about the Todd?
Yeah.
He's the resident, pervert quagmire, kind of.
Oh, the Todd is hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, people think I really just walk into things, but I really got to be well prepared. Yeah, he just waits to get his one line and wait for his moment to give a dirty joke. And it turns out in the end that
we all know that person that turns anything into a dirty joke.
Yeah, it turns in the end he's super fluid. In the end, but Todd appreciates hot regardless of gender. that's funny. But, you know, that's it. So we're kind of wandering off here. So I think it's getting the sleepy cast tonight.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap this one up here. So be good. Take care of yourselves. But don't be too good.